was trying to think how long it's been since I've been here. And the sanctuary was about half the size. So how long has it been since you've done this enlarging here?
Two or three years?
Well, that's when, I guess that tells me how long ago I was here, just a couple, 3 years ago. It's precious to be with y'all. I just immediately, you know, just as y'all worshiped and getting to worship with you, and is James still in here? He'll come back. Anyway, I enjoyed it. The same Holy Spirit fills His church wherever you go.
Yes.
And so it's sweet, and it's kind of, I don't get around very much. I know Pastor Mike does. In fact, I've been to Ukraine and Africa 3 times with Pastor Mike, and I'm always think it's a miracle that I come home.
Yes.
Because he is navigationally challenged. And if I just kept telling you these stories, you probably would nod your head and go, yeah, that's him. But I don't know, if I would have known it before I went, I might have seriously considered not going. But the first time he took us to South Africa, we just left Durban driving up north, and he says, I think it's this way. And he couldn't get anybody on the phone, and he says, I just know it's up this way towards the border. And in all faith, he just takes off, and I don't know how, but he gets there. All right. And then this last time, when were we there last? Last summer. Then we drove. Because it was very expensive, we drove from South Africa to Botswana, and I was the navigator. Talk about a Texan who has to, and he drives, I navigate. So if we don't get there, whose fault is that? That's mine. Anyway, it's really sweet being with y'all. I've known Pastor Mike and Cheryl for 14 years. This is what I'd like to say. I've had lots of pastor friends. I've seen ministers come and ministers go. And Jesus had some things to say about that. He said, there are some people who are shepherds. And then he says, there are some people who are hirelings. Pastor Mike and Cheryl are not hirelings. They will do this because they love the church. They love the kingdom of God. They love people. And that's why they're still at it after all these years. And so that impresses me. So I appreciate that in them. I want to introduce to you, I brought 2 friends. This is the first one I want to introduce is Mike Narvaez. And Mike, would you stand up for a second, please? In fact, just come stand beside me. I would like y'all to pray for Mike. Maybe when we're done. He's my friend. He goes to our Bible college. He's a church leader in the making, and I just say that just out of my personal opinion. I know he's got some thoughts in his own heart about what the Lord is calling him to, but I wanted to ask you to pray for him for this reason. His wife is our former mayor. 3 terms of mayor in San Marcos, and I honestly say this. I've been around San Marcos. I was away for a little while, but I've been around San Marcos since the mid-70s. And she has been the most successful and the most fruitful and productive and unifying mayor I've ever seen since the mid-70s. So 3 terms. Now, she's not mayor any longer, but she's running for the United States Congress, and they're haggling over the district numbers right now. But I think she's probably going to end up running against Lloyd Doggett. And so, I am saying vote for his wife, but I'm not saying be one party over the other. I'm not saying that. But I am asking for some votes, aren't I? So, Mike, would you like to just address them for?
I can say that.
Okay. All right.
Hello. Oh, it does work. Oh, good evening. I want to thank you. This is a beautiful church. Your worship is fantastic. Basically, Tom said I needed to say something. So, basically, the best I can say is this is an important year for voting. So everybody needs to register. Everybody needs to go vote. I would say that let's vote for the God-fearing people, because those are the ones that need to go change Washington. And so that would be my message. The God-fearing people need to go and change Washington for God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. And can I just say about Mayor Susan, I still call her Mayor Susan. She was not afraid of anything. She was quality. She is quality. I shouldn't put it in the past tense, but she's not afraid of anything. She brought prayer back into town council meetings. She was not afraid to freely in front of when State of the Mayor's address, what State of the Union, State of the City address, State of San Marcos, she was not afraid to just lift up the Lord. She is genuine. And she was courageous and bold, and she's good. So anyway, I just would like to ask you to pray for them, pray for the Narvaez's, and remember to pray for Susan, because she's quality, okay? All right, Pam, this is Pam, Pam Rose. She's on staff with us at our church, and she's a treasure. And so I asked her if she would join, the three of us could come together, and she said, sure, she would love to come. She really has a prophetic gifting, and so I just wanted to give you opportunity to express anything that you feel like the Lord is impressing on your heart.
Thanks, Tom. I did actually hear the Lord speak to me about this church. You know, you did such a beautiful job in worship just lifting up the name of the Lord, and I heard the Lord say to me, in this house, I have a name for them, and I call them the Passion House.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
The Passion House. And he was showing me how, you know, kind of how we think about that word in our culture, but the passion of the Christ led him to the cross. Yes. And he was showing me how this house has so much passion, but you're going to have even more in the
Amen.
Days to come. So much that even though the Lord leads you through some places that may be rocky and may be unknown, you're a house that he can trust to go there.
Amen.
And, like, he's so pleased and he's so honored here. I just had such a knowing in my spirit of the honor and the reverence of the Lord here. And so he says to you, you are my passion house.
Amen. Amen. You can get that to show. Thank you. Thank you, Pam. All right. Okay, would y'all open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, please? All right. I want to say some things here before we look into the Word for a few moments. And I want to try to finish early enough so that, because the end part of what I talk about is pronouncing blessings in the name of Jesus. And I want to finish early enough that we can actually just get some of y'all's prayer partners and Pastor Cheryl, and we just want to make a line of blessing here, and we would like just a simple, we'd like all of you to just pass through, and we just want to lay hands and just bless everyone here. So I want to get rolling on that so that we can pray together for the last few minutes that we're here. I wanted to say to the sound guy, is it David? David, thank you for serving me, because as I stood there and you made things ready, it just became pretty evident to me that your servant's heart and the quality of your character and the excellence within you, and I don't know where you work or what you do for a living, but in my mind's eye, I just thought this guy probably is rising to the top in terms of, like Joseph, you know, just the excellence and that the favor of the Lord is on you. So anyway, thank you for serving this congregation and what you do behind that desk there, or that big desk. So, all right. And also, he knows what he's doing. I'm sure he pushes all the right buttons up there. So, Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, and then we'll skip down. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Jesus is so precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now I want you to skip. Let's go down to verse 9. But you also are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And thank you for the water, too. Was that Greg? What was? All right. I'm reading now, please, if you will, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. What I was wanting to point out in 1 Peter chapter 2, as you're looking for Deuteronomy 10, is that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And verse 5, it says we're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And part of what we're to do is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, if you'll look in Deuteronomy chapter 10, I always love looking in the Old Testament to see the principles that are in the Old Testament that the New Testament writers were drawing on and seeing revelation out of the Old Testament and then writing the things that we get for our New Testament. I love this. And so this is what I saw here in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy. It says this. Let's look in verse 8. It says, at that time, he's talking about, this is Moses talking about how, you know, he's giving them a history lesson as they get ready to enter into the promised land. And he's telling them what they've gone through in those 40 years that the previous generation had wandered and how they didn't get to enter in at first. And then that generation has died off. And there's a new generation coming now. So here it is. And so Moses is giving some instructions here. And let's see, verse 8. And he's going to talk about Levi here. And so he says, at that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him, and to bless in his name to this day. Now, this is what I know that's just a real quick reading of that eighth verse, but I want to point out three things there that I really think are significant for us. I really, if you would just look at it this way, I call it, this is like the job description of a priest. Because Levi was given these three responsibilities. Now, many of you might say, well, okay, that's in the nation of Israel, and Levi was one of those 12 tribes, and that's what Levi did. But what we read there in the New Testament, that Peter called us a priesthood, a royal priesthood, and there is something, there is a mantle that the Lord places on our shoulders. There's a purpose that the Lord gives to us of why we're living, why we're following him. Not only are we adopted into his family, now Jesus is our elder brother, and we are adopted into the household of the faith. I mean, we have God the Father, our elder brother, he's the firstborn, and it's awesome because we have a new family. But I also want you to see this thing here, that what he's saying in these verses here, he's given this royal priesthood that we are. He's giving us a job description. Here's the first one. He says the priest, number one, they're supposed to bear or carry the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. Now, do you remember what the Ark was? You remember that? It was the acacia wood box, and it was overlaid with gold, and it had two big angels, cherubim angels on the top of it, and there were these rings on both sides, and these long poles were stuck through. And literally, the scripture says this in several places in the Old Testament. It says, and the Lord inhabited the place right between the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. If you look in the scripture, you're going to see that in about three or four places. The scripture says, the Lord dwelt there. Okay, it's also interesting, and I'm not really going to talk about this subject, but in Psalm 22, the scripture says that the Lord, he inhabits, it's the same word. The Lord inhabits our what? Praises. Our praises. Okay, In the same way that, I don't know what cherubim looked like, but their wings were outstretched towards one another. And just in that little space between the two wings of the cherubim, the scripture says the Lord dwelt right there. He dwelt right there. And so that's the same word in Psalm 22 that says he dwells in the praises of his people. Now, we're a royal priesthood, a chosen, a holy nation, and whatever the adjectives that he used there to describe us. But that's part of our job description, is being this priest. And what those priests then is they bore the Ark of the Ark of the Covenant. It was sometimes called the Ark of the Presence because the Lord literally dwelt there. Now, I don't know about you, but that means a lot to me, because I would love to bear the presence of God into every situation that I'm in. In fact, we have this triangular shaped room in our building. It has a table and a couple of chairs in the corner, but it's called the prayer room. And I have probably walked, one time I did the math. I think at one point that I'd done the math over a number of years, and I think I'd walked about as far as Kansas City, Missouri, back and forth. The carpet is new. I mean, 4 years old. I can see my path already. But what I'm saying to you is this. The presence of the Lord comes into that room, and sometimes people come in on Sunday mornings before the service, and I'm in there praying. And it's not that I'm praying. It's just I can't tell you how many times people have walked in and they say, the Lord is in this place. Well, we want that to happen. We want that to happen at Tree of Life. We want that to happen in your closet. We want that to happen in your car when you're driving down the highway. We want the Lord's presence. That's part of our job description, is to bear the presence of the Lord. And if you remember the story in the Old Testament, when David finally took over the rulership in Israel and he set up his throne in Jerusalem, his kingship in Jerusalem there, the ark was in the tent, the tabernacle, I think it was in Shiloh, and David saying to himself, I want the presence here with me. Yes, the tabernacle's over there and they have, you know, all about the tabernacle, but he was saying, I want that presence with me. So he pitches a brand new tent in his town, Jerusalem. He leaves the tabernacle. I mean, the tabernacle still had their altar, still had that laver, still had the Holy of Holies and the holy place and the most holy place, still had the altar of incense, still had all that furniture. But he wanted the Ark of the Covenant to come be with him in Jerusalem because he wanted the Lord's presence. How many of you have ever been in a really special church service and the Lord just shows up? And you know, either, I don't know, maybe some of the tears start coming down your cheeks, or here's one way you'll really know. You just love everybody. And you know, the little things that get in between you and somebody, you don't care about anything. You just love everyone. That's the presence of the Lord. You can't be in the Lord's presence and be ticked off at somebody. It doesn't work. Either that, or you're just the lone grump in the whole group of people. And you understand what I'm saying? We want the presence. So David wanted the presence of God with him, so he sends for it. Well, what did they do? How did they get it to Jerusalem? Or how did they first get it to Jerusalem? The wrong way. They put it on a cart. But if you'll just go back, I didn't look the passages up. I just know it's there. But if you go back, the instruction is earlier for the Levites. You're supposed to, the Levites, the poles go through those gold rings, and the Levites were supposed to carry the presence of the Lord on their shoulders. Okay, priests. It's part of our job description is to carry the presence of God wherever we go. Now, we notice it more in our own closets and prayer rooms, and we notice it more, but really it's our job to take the Lord into every place that we go, every aspect of our lives. It's to take them to work with us. Now, that just doesn't mean that we're hammering people over the head with the gospel, but you want to be open to when somebody is hurting at work. Don't pass it by. When the Spirit of the Lord impresses, take an extra moment and find out how they're doing. We want to take the presence of the Lord. We take the presence of the Lord into every situation that we walk in. It's part of our job description. We carry Him with us every day that we live. And we want Him in our families, in our homes. I just know this, and then we're going to go to the second one and then the third. I pray this verse about myself. You could pray this one too. I pray the scripture now. I don't pray... I pray, because you know the scripture says that if we ask according to His will, that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. So I try to pray the scripture now. All right, this is Acts 4. It says this. When Peter and John are on trial because they've healed the lame man, and so they're called in front of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the rulers of there in Jerusalem, but the verse says this, and when they, that means the rulers and those that were there, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men. I like that. That gives opportunity. That gives hope. I don't want to say that about y'all. I'll say it about me. It gives hope for all of us, though, really. Unschooled, of course, going to school is just fine. I've been to college and Bible college and graduated. But anyway, but what I'm saying is it doesn't matter. Unschooled, ordinary, it doesn't matter. Okay? When they saw their courage, they were astonished. Now, here's the phrase that I pray. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. We're carrying the Lord. People are going to take note when we've been with Jesus. I'm not saying when we rush through life and we forgot to pray that morning or we passed up the scripture for a few days. Or I'm not saying that, but I'm saying but when we genuinely are in the presence of the Lord, people are going to take note. And I would love for that to be said about us. Secondly, all right, they carried the Ark of the Covenant. Secondly, they stood before the Lord to minister. Now, you remember the priests, they would help offer the sacrifices on the altar. They would trim the lamps in the holy place. They would burn incense. They would put the showbread on the table. They would keep the tabernacle. They would open it and close it at the appropriate times. The priests had all kinds of duties, and the Levites helped too. All right? So they had all kinds of religious duties. All right? But this is what I want to point out. But that phrase there says, but they stood before the Lord to minister to Him. Second job description. Minister to the Lord. Now that's a little different. Okay. Do you realize it's easy to be a Christian, live a godly life, raise a wonderful family, go to work every day, do all your responsibilities, be a faithful, do you realize it's easy to do? Well, maybe it's not easy, but it's easy to do that and not minister to the Lord. You can read your scripture. You can get up in the morning and you can spend time in prayer and not minister to the Lord. Did you know that? Because there's a different connotation here. In Acts chapter 13, when it says, and the prophets and teachers, they gathered together and they were getting ready. I mean, the Lord spoke to them about sending out Paul and Barnabas to the mission field. But it's the interesting thing about that passage right there. He says, and when they gathered and ministered to the Lord and fasted, that the Lord spoke to them and said, set apart unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to. Okay. Ministered to the Lord and fasted. Okay, well, what's that mean? Well, I don't think it means they just did all the ordinary, normal stuff. I think they switched gears in their own hearts and their own minds, and they said, now, at this time now, I'm going to put away my desires. Because sometimes when we pray, what do we bring to the Lord many times when we pray? We bring to Him a lot of petition. Isn't that true? I'm not the only one who does that, right? Okay. Whenever we go to the Lord, we just bring our laundry list. Sometimes. Okay? But we have to remember that part of our job description also is to minister to Him. Well, how do we minister to Him? Well, you can worship Him. You can think whatever you want. If you look in Psalm 100, it'll tell you a few things to do to minister. Serve the Lord with gladness. I mean, give Him some gladness. But sometimes I go with a little bit of gloominess. Oh, do y'all ever pray woe is me prayers?
It's
sad. One time I was living in Colorado, and I used to do these spiritual retreats. I would go by myself. I'd fast, take my Bibles and books and notebooks, and I'm going to go hear from the Lord. And I went to this beautiful house, because I spent 17 years in Telluride, Colorado, and I was up at Trout Lake. That's at 10,000 feet, and these Christian people lent me their whole house, three-story house. The whole front side of it's glass, and you just pull the drapes, and you're just looking at this ridge of mountains right there. Okay, I got all my books. I went up there. All right, I'm going to hear from the Lord. And I think I started doing lots of woe is me prayers. I hope I'm the same as you guys. But that's what I was doing. In other words, that's another way of saying, I hope I'm not the worst person in here. Okay. And I'm not trying to compare us either. Oops, sorry about that. But anyway, as I began my retreat, and I just said, I'm going to hear from God. And I got off by myself, and I don't think I started worshiping. I think I just started giving the Lord my laundry list. But anyway, after a while, in the first day of my retreat, I finally heard Him. I mean, I don't know how many hours had passed, but I heard Him. Do you know what He said to me? He said, Tom, would you quit whining? I heard that. Quit whining. I went, oh, do I do that? He didn't answer yes, but to minister to the Lord, it's so important. Gratitude. Instead of the list of petitions, why don't you try giving Him a list of things you're grateful for? I will enter His gates with and His courts with
praise.
Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. I'm not really quoting it too well, but anyway, that's the gist of some of it. That's called ministering to the Lord. So sometimes instead of bringing Him all that petition stuff, why don't you just give Him, just try taking 10 minutes to thank Him for everything that you can think of. It'll come, maybe 20 minutes. It'll come, it will come. That ministers to Him as much as the praise and as much as the worship. It does. It ministers to Him. And it's a spiritual sacrifice. And it's just as good as trimming lamps or offering burnt offerings on the altar. I'm glad we don't have to do that part. All right? Okay. Third, and this is where I want to, we'll just talk for a couple minutes, and then we're going to make our line and we're going to pray. All right? Their third, what did it say there? It said, to stand before the Lord, to minister to Him, and last of all, to bless in His name to this day. So I think I want to read my NIV about that. Because I'm reading out of the New King James right there. Okay, what does it say? To carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister, and to pronounce blessings in His name. Pronounce blessings in His name. Let's talk about this for just a couple of minutes, and then we'll move on. Pronouncing blessings. More and more, I'm seeing that there's a tremendous power in our words. I'm not trying to preach a sermon. Most likely, Pastor Mike has preached on life and death are in the power of the tongue, or, you know, just, you've probably heard sermons on that. Okay. You know, as I read the Old Testament, and was it Jacob? He deceived his father and basically stole. He had already purchased for a cup of soup, he'd purchased the birthright from his brother. And then he deceives his dad and gets the blessing. And then when Jacob goes out of the room and Esau comes in, and Esau says, well, can't you bless me? And Jacob says, I can't. I gave your blessing. To Jacob. Lost Jacob's name there. Well, what does that mean? It means that there's such power in our words that you can't take them back. Once they've gone, they're set in motion. I found it quite interesting that when Balak tried to hire Balaam to curse Israel, he couldn't. In fact, the reason he couldn't is because the scripture says that he found no fault in Israel. So you can't curse something that there's no fault there, because there's the curse causeless shall not alight, but you can curse something where there could be a cause. In other words, some unresolved sin or something like that. But what I'm saying is Balaam understood, I can't curse them. And Balak understood the power of words. That he's trying to pay big bucks to buy this guy to do the cursing. Do you understand? He's going to spend a lot of money to get some preacher, I'm just going to put it like that, to just speak some words. We don't think in those terms. I'm saying, when he says to pronounce blessings in his name, it's because in the mind of God and in the kingdom of God, the Lord knows that there's power in our words. There really is. And part also of our job description is to just out and out, downright, stand there and say, I bless that situation, or I bless that person, or I bless this church, or I bless my family, or I bless, and in the name of Jesus, I declare these blessings. And there's power in that. You can find all kinds of proverbs that talk about the power of those things, and we won't go there, but I just want you to know there's power there. And so then when I see in the book of Numbers where it says the priestly blessing, that they were supposed to declare the priestly blessing over the people of Israel, and they would say, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and be gracious to you, and give you peace, and however that blessing went. Well, sometimes I'll just pray that little passage. And I don't just, it's like the Lord's Prayer. You can pray every phrase of it. And you can expound on each phrase. And you can really do it. And if you'll do it knowing that the delegated authority from the King of Kings that's seated on the throne in heaven, who rules everything, and yet he delegated authority to Adam, and he said, rule and subdue, and multiply and fill the earth, that same kind of injunction, that same kind of command is placed upon us too. The Lord wants us to rule and subdue. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to rule over our neighbors. Actually, the way Jesus showed us is we're servants and things like that. It doesn't mean that Christians are going to be all of a sudden the rulers of the world. But we are supposed to rule over the spiritual realm where the adversary seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And sometimes we can just downright put our foot down and say, in the name of Jesus, I say no to that. Because in the name of Jesus, I pronounce blessing on this. And so when it says, the Lord bless you, just expound on each one of those phrases. We can do that. It's just called pronouncing blessings. I do that over our church a lot. In prayer time in our staff meeting this morning, we spent the last, I don't know, just the last 5 or 10 minutes of prayer time. We said, okay, now everybody, because there's 6 or 7 of us seated at the table, and we'd had a real precious time of prayer at the end of doing all our calendar and work and all that kind of stuff, the stuff that, you know, is necessary, but it's not fun. So, but at the end of that time, we just started saying, okay, now, what are the things that we want to say are not, they're not welcome or not allowed in our church? And different people around the table just began to name things. Well, number one, strife and dissension, you're not allowed. We just want you to know you're not allowed in this church. We draw a boundary and we say, stay out in the name of Jesus. You see, we've got authority. And we just went down the list. Strife, dissension, jealousy, envy, apathy and complacency. One thing that we've begun drawing a line around our congregation, and we're having to fight over it right now, over a certain circumstance in our church, but several years back, Pastor Jimmy, who's been here, Pastor Darnell, it was his idea several years ago, and the whole church, we took hold of it. And we've said, we draw a boundary here, and we proclaim that this congregation will from henceforth forward, will be a no cancer zone. Now we're wrestling with that now. It's been set up maybe 3 years since we started or 4 years perhaps, since we started drawing that boundary. But I just want you to know there's authority that the Lord gives to us. So let's just be bold using it. Pronouncing blessings. So we just bless the Lord in all kinds of ways. There's power in our words. And I just wanted to say, can I tie my shoe? I'm stepping on my shoestring and it's driving me nuts. Okay. Brother, would you take that off the tape? Cut that part. Just joking, David. All right. What was I thinking? Pronounce blessings. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I'm beginning to pray differently. I've already been sharing it with you, but I'm just beginning to pray differently. I don't to a percentage, a much smaller percentage of the time do I bring petitions to the Lord now. I mean, petitions are still one of the ways to pray. It's still one of the ways the Lord told us. All right? And it's still good. It's still good. But I am calling those things that are not as though they are. Yes. Romans chapter 4. And I'm making declaration. So at prayer time around the table, as we finish just saying those things that are not welcome, well, then we stop and we say, okay, now what are we speaking for our congregation? And what are we calling into being here? And what are we inviting here? And so then we went off for another five or 10 minutes just talking about, you know, different ones would just say, we invite this. There's hunger. Our hearts are hungry for you, Lord. We are a people that seek you, Lord. And so basically we're pronouncing blessings over our congregation and creating some things that we want to see. You understand that? All right, let's finish this up so that we can do our prayer line. So, Pastor Cheryl, your prayer partners, they'll come help us here, right? Okay. Let's do this. I want us to make this line. Cheryl, let's just do it the same way that we learned in Reading. Okay. So let's just make two lines. They're going to face each other just like this. They're just going to face each other all down here. And I'm just calling this the blessing line. You got that? Hey, we're just going to bless and bless and bless. And we just want to pray for everyone to come through this line. Can I move this back, Cheryl? Okay, prayer partners, come on. And can we at least We definitely want 10 people or even more if we can get that. And then just get across from somebody so that Mike, come down here so that I'm across from you. And then all the rest of you, and let's just make this line just going right down. All the rest of you, if you're comfortable with this, you do not have to do this, and it's okay. No harm, no foul. But whatever, this is simply, we're just going to call this. Now I need another part of the line just on this side, just facing these team members right here. Okay? You do not have to do this, but if you would like to, we just start a line over kind of in that aisle over there. And you're just going to walk through here, and you'll probably get about 10 to 30 seconds per couple going through this line, and we're just going to be blessing people. All right, before we actually start this line, can I just pray over the church? Let's bow our heads together and pray. Lord, we just say we love you. Can we say it together? We love you, Lord. Let's say it one more time. We love you, Lord. We say Tree of Life is a church that loves you. We say zeal for your house consumes this group of people. We say the joy of the Lord fills this group of people. Lord, we say we ask for a double mantle here as well. Lord, Lord, we ask for beauty for ashes here and the oil of joy for mourning here and a garment of praise. Lord, we ask for a double mantle garment of praise here on this congregation. Thank you for those words, those words spoken earlier, that this is a house of passion. We say hearts are inclined to the Lord here. And affection goes out to Jesus here. We say there's revelation of Jesus in this house. We say Jesus reveals himself. And when people and guests, people come in these doors and they know and they get to know these people and the neighbors of these people, we just say they take note that these people are with Jesus or have been with Jesus. So we just say your blessing is on this group. We say thank you for Tree of Life. We just say, Pastor Mike, be blessed in Costa Rica. Be healthy, be strong, be encouraged, be a blessing to everyone that you touch. And we just say blessings on Tree of Life in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's pray. You can make a line over now, and we'll just send you through, okay? This is good. Okay, everybody in line, and the prayer teamers, go ahead and put your hands on their shoulders and just bless them in the name of Jesus. And any prayer, make them quick. Make the prayers quick. But just bless them in Jesus' name and send them through the line to the next couple, okay?